Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
There'll be no theme music this week because
we don't have time. There's a theme music. Anyway, I'd like to thank the Gorgo Variety Hour. Would like to thank the wonderful city of Louisville, Kentucky, for giving everybody that went to the Mid-South Convention the plague. We thought it was tuberculosis, but I think it's worse than tuberculosis. We've contracted Black Death. We're quite proud here. We couldn't be there during that time, but we're reenacting it now, I guess. No, apparently, I didn't know this. I just talked to Yed this week. Last week, what was it last week? It was 2 weekends ago. We went to the Mid-South Convention in Louisville, Kentucky. And we stayed at a hotel. I'm not going to name names because apparently we could probably get sued for naming where we caught this. But we went to the Mid-South Convention, and apparently everybody that attended that convention got sick. And I didn't know. I had gotten sick. We were definitely sick that Sunday that we had that meal on. We were like, my snot was running out. I was, leaking all over the place. My mic was, all green and fungicide. It was crazy. You know, he was bashing his head on the table, trying to clear his head up. It was crazy. It was nuts. We were even more disturbed and disgusted in the brain than we usually are. So, I don't know. I didn't think nothing of it. I was just sick or something, which I thought was odd because I usually never get sick this time of year, ever in my life. So, I was like, that's odd that I'm sick in October. But anyway, I saw these MySpace bulletins and messages, and Doug from Ghost Talk called me and, called Techie Yed. And it, apparently, there was some sort of contagion going around, and every single person that attended the convention got sick. So I made a couple phone calls just to see if it was true, and it was. So thank you, Louisville, Kentucky, for giving us the plague. The epidemic has now spread. It's like a zombie infestation, really. Pretty much everybody will be in quarantine. I don't know. It'll turn out like that movie Blindness. I don't know what's going on. I'm hearing bells. Do you hear bells? It's part of the contagion.
You hear things now.
We're hearing some. It's crazy. I'm hearing bells now. Is it part of it? I should call around. Do you hear bells? It's Did you hear like some kids singing or something? Ah, oh my god, in our case, we're going to be in college. But, oh my god, October 12th, guys. Apparently, according to Blog Talk, we have like 54 minutes of our show, which I think is BS. But whatever. So that's fine. But, oh my god. Guys, we're in October. Okay, this is
nuts. This has been crazy. We had Circus Envy on the end of September kicking us off. You know, we, you know, jumped right into it. We had Ed Neal from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Really cool, really funny guy. I love him. This week, we told you, because you know how we are, we get caught up in stuff. We never get to talk about certain things. This week, we're giving you Halloween. That's right. Not as if it's not in this month or anything. You're not going to get it. We're giving you Halloween, and we're giving you the history. We're giving you a bunch of crap, and I don't care. I don't care. You're going to like it. You're going to take it. You're going to like it. I don't know. Provide your own Vaseline. It's that type of thing. But, wow, guys, it's been a crazy month. It is going to get even more nuts. Oh, my God. I can't even contain it. I am bubbling over with excitement because do you know who we have on the show next week? And actually, guys, for everybody out there, you better listen up. The show is not going to be on Sunday next week. It's going to be on Monday night. It is a special edition of the show. It's going to be Monday night at 9 p.m. I will promote the crap out of it on Ghostman Demon Hunter and everything so you guys remember what time and all that good stuff. You don't miss it. We're going to have the original Michael Myers on, Mr. Tony Moran. We're going to talk about Halloween. We're going to talk about craziness. He might, you know, try to stab us. It'll be good times. It'll be great times, guys. So I'm excited. We've got Halloween. It's nuts. Whatever. But, oh, my God. So we're just going off. I had to give that thank you to Louisville because, you know, apparently we're all going to die.
Thanks for the Black Death.
Yes, thank you. We're going to die now. But I don't know, guys. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're getting psyched for Halloween. And we talked about this, the feeling in the air and all this jazz. And, you know, my favorite, the movies and all this good stuff. But I was thinking about it. People watch the classics, okay? They watch The Exorcist. They watch Halloween. You know, you get some gory people. You watch some, you know, Dead Alive, stuff like that. But there's certain movies that people won't admit that they like, but that I think are crucial to watch during Halloween. Because you want a variety when you watch movies during Halloween, people. You get your classics. You get your psychological. You get your slasher, whatever. You need your camp. And, yeah, you can get your Friday 13th, your 80s slasher flicks like House on Sorority Row, all this stuff. But really, really, you need to go a little bit beyond that. You need to go into sort of almost preteen territory. And that's what I'm saying, guys. I wanted to mention a couple movies to you real fast before we get into this whole Halloween craziness. But there's a few movies that I think you guys need to see. And you're going to admit to seeing them because I know deep down you all love them. And I don't know, why wouldn't you, right? But come on, guys. Ernest Scared Stupid. do you remember that? Techie Ed?
I remember the name.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I don't like movies. It's part of technology. And she's fondling the 78-year-old we picked up in Louisville. That died of the plague.
You can't tell people.
It's all good. They'll find out eventually. The photos will come out. Seriously, there is. I didn't tell you. Along with Jesus being an armrest, there was photos.
Oh, man.
It was not good. But Aaron is scared stupid, guys. Seriously. I remember watching that when I was a kid, okay? And it was nuts because, okay, here you had Ernest P. Worrell, you know, and he had, you know, Ernest goes to jail, Ernest goes to camp, all those fun stuff. He did a Halloween one. I personally loved it. You had this psychotic-looking bogey troll who, like, drooled on things. You had the crazy tree. Frickin' Eartha Kitt was in it. Come on. Eartha Kitt is awesome. And I don't care what any of you people say. She's still my favorite Catwoman. So F you all, okay? Julie Andrews and all this crap and the stuff and God and whoever else. I'm going to start naming names of people that, you know, don't think she was a good freaking Catwoman, but seriously, she's my favorite Catwoman, all right? Just like Sean Connery is my favorite James Bond. Anybody got a problem with that? That's what I thought. I don't know. You get all these people. And what's with the new guy? I'm sorry. I don't even want to get into this. What's with the new guy for James Bond? What a tool. I swear to God, I am angry. I am angry about this. I like him in other stuff, but as James Bond, no. No. What are you thinking? Just stop. You're killing me, guys. I don't know. And every time I go, I've seen previews for this. What is it? Quantum of Solace. Can we come up with a queerer name than that? Really? Of all the names you could possibly pick, I'm going to name my hip action movie Quantum of Solace. Really? Can I call it, like, Road to Boorville? I mean, come on. And what was that crappy one that he just did right before his first one, Casino Royale or whatever? That was the most boring James Bond I have ever seen in my life. It was so generic. I mean, you'd expect it with the technology we have today to be outstanding, and it was generic. It seriously was. I was like, I'm watching something blow up, and I'm not getting a feeling of dirty excitement. I'm bored. What is happening? What's wrong? So, I don't know. And I have no idea why I just went off on that James Bond tire. Apparently, it bothered me.
Because the only good James Bond is Sean Connery James Bond, the older James Bond.
Right.
The good one.
Right. I mean, you know, Roger Moore was awesome. Good stuff. The other two, okay, I'll let it slide. I know my best friend is, like, obsessed with Pierce Brosnan being James Bond. So, okay, I'll give it to her. But no. What's his name? Daniel Craig or whatever? No. You're good in other stuff. But not James Bond, okay? You make me angry. If you keep doing James Bond, you're going to go in Gore Girl's category of Val Kilmer, and you don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. Let's just let it be, okay? That bothered me, because I feel like a weight is lifted off my chest by talking about this James Bond thing. I do. Thank you. Wow. Okay, we can move on now. That was horrifying. I have no idea. People are like, oh, my God, she's nuts. She didn't get a chance to talk the whole week, and she's going off about James Bond. Anyway, okay, so we're Scared Stupid. It was a great film. Ends up happening, this troll gets woken up, has a curse on the world family, sucks the souls of kids, Eartha kits the old lady that knows all about what's going on, and apparently she was around, like, 3,000 years ago. Good times. It's just funny. It's crazy. It's earnest. Come on, you got to laugh at it. It's earnest, for God's sakes. Good times. And then, okay, I'm going to get it for saying this, but Hocus Pocus. I freaking love Hocus Pocus. I don't care what you guys say. Hocus Pocus was dumb fun, okay? You had Sarah Jessica. Yes, yes, thank you. Techie Ed. Techie Ed is shaking his head.
That movie growing up.
Yes, yes. That was the best movie, was it not? That was the movie you watched during Halloween. You got excited. You
Casper.
Yes, yes, thank you. Casper. Oh, my God. Ghostbusters, all this stuff. This is classic stuff. Hocus Pocus, man. Bette Midler. Okay, I'm sorry. I love Bette Midler. That woman can do no wrong. She's freaking funny. She's nuts. Bette Midler is nuts, and I love nutso people, so she's cool. And, I mean, Kathy and Jimmy was funny. I mean, when she got in the vacuum cleaner, she's like, wee! And flying through the sky on the vacuum with the cord hanging off. Oh, my God. I freaking lose it when I watch that. Or Sarah Jessica Parker, and she's jumping around. I mean, this is way before, you know, Sex and the City days where she was, you know, the hip swab Carrie Bradshaw. But, I mean, she was just, we're going to say it, Gigi Studios is going to say it, she was just the hot blonde that ran around and bounced a lot. I mean, that was her role in the movie. She went from that to Carrie Bradshaw. I don't know, guys. You do the connections. I don't know. Somebody had to be blown during this process. I don't know. No, I love Sarah Jessica Parker. I think she's cool. It was just an awesome movie. Do you remember the corpse that got up? What was his name? Billy? He got up, and then he's like, watch out for your head. And she's like, oh, my God. Oh, that was zombies right there. You had a little bit of everything. You had zombies. You had vampires. You know, you had kids about to be boiled in pots by evil witches. That happened to be Kathy and Jimmy, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Bette Midler. How good was that? That was good stuff. Or the talking cat. Please, please. That was good stuff. I just keep thinking of that freaking scene. I mean, that's nuts. They're all nuts. It was, oh, God. God, I think we're having a moment here, guys. We're like, we're going off about James Bond. We're coming back to, I don't know, I'm seeing vacuum cleaners and crotches. I don't know. My mind is gone now, guys. But it's good stuff. And I have to talk about, like, my favorite movie that's so, like, dumb fun. I mean, it's not really for little kids, but it's very G-rated storyline. It has a little dark humor for adults, but come on, guys. It's G-rated compared to what's out there. Haunted Honeymoon. I talked about this a little bit last week before we got into the Ed Neal interview. Haunted Honeymoon, guys. I mean, Tom DeLuise, Gene Wilder, Gilda Radner. I mean, these are the comic greats of this time, okay? And rest in peace, Gilda Radner. I still think she's one of the most amazing comics to have ever lived. She was awesome. Some of the stuff she did on the original, you know, Not Ready for Primetime, you know, SNL group was awesome, guys. When she did the Girl Scout, that, I mean, she actually broke her ribs doing that skit. She got into it that much. Oh, my God, that was awesome. It's just that woman was wow. And, I mean, you know, I think in Haunted Honeymoon, I don't think she really got the chance to shine, but still, who cares? She's awesome. And Gene Wilder, where is that man alive? Is he still alive? I love that Ducky Ed's looking into it. Is he alive? Google. I love that man. I swear to God, I don't know what it is. He is so funny. I mean, he's insane. You look at him, he's got the crazy hair, and I mean, he was Willy Wonka, and he could be a serial killer. I'm serious. I mean, you look at him, he's kind of nuts, but he could get, like, he gives you this look, and you're like, oh my God, he's murdering people in his basement. Seriously, I mean, he was crazy. I think he could have done way more stuff. So, I mean, you know, you get all these crazy people. Dom DeLuise's Aunt Kate, you know, the whole gist of the story is, you know, they go to this haunted house, you know, they're reading the will or whatever, and, you know, all this mayhem happens and lightning and, you know, the wine cellar and someone's running around as a werewolf and there's dead bodies. I mean, come on, is that not cool? That's cool, guys. And my favorite thing, and I have to do this, I don't care, I'm going to pull it up, I'm going to do it. I have to do this because my favorite scene in the movie, I talked about it last week, was when Gilda Radner and Dom DeLuise, dressed in drag as Aunt Kate, do Ball in the Jack. Seriously? How is that not, like, the best thing ever? Every time I see that, I get up and dance. I do the damn dance. I seriously do. I don't remember all the words or whatever, but screw you. I'm going to do it. Would you like to do it with me?
I'll try.
Well, I'll start, and if you catch on, jump in.
Okay.
All right. You know, you kind of go like this, you know, get your little thing. Look at this. Look at this. We're doing acoustic right here live. Ready? First, you put your two knees close up tight. You swing them to the left, then you swing them to the right. Step around the floor kind of nice and light. And then you twist around with all of your might. You're lost yet, aren't you? Spread your loving arms way out in space. You do the eagle rock with the silent grace. You put your left foot out and bring it back. That's what I call balling the jack. Ow! Am I high? I think I might be high. Come on, guys. You spread your loving arms way out in space. You do the eagle rock with the silent grace. You put your left foot out and bring it back. And that's what we call balling the jack. Now look at this. We're getting canceled now. Because Core Girl was high when she did this. She was high when she did that. How is that not great? Who remembers that? Hit me up. Is there anybody even out there listening? Seriously. How is that not, like, the best campy scene ever for... I mean, come on. Dom DeLuise and Drake. Well, I mean, that was an uncommon thing, but... It was pretty regular, I hear, but seriously, that was nuts. I mean, I was a kid watching this, and I saw comedy. I saw genius. I saw fun. That's the important thing, guys, is that if you can make a film and you can bring passion to it and you can project fun to the audience, you've done your job. If you can affect one person, and that's what we say about radio, it's what we say, you know, Ghostly Talk, Ghostman, Demon Hunter, you know, Darker Side, all of us, if we can affect one person, we're doing our job. And that's what it's all about, guys. But seriously, that movie, I don't know what it is. I got chills. That movie was awesome. I just don't even understand how you could not see that movie. You have to see that movie. Techie, have you seen that movie? Oh, my God. I'm done.
That could be why I didn't know
the song. I know you were totally lost. I'm like, just okay. You were trying. You get a total
Instagram.
You were totally, guys. He was following me with the moves because I was doing the eagle rock. I did the foot out. Oh, it was crazy. I think I'm seriously nuts tonight. But you know what? I'm excited, and everybody should be excited out there. Why are you not jazzed, guys? If you're not jazzed, get up, move around, shake it out. you know, snort the coke, you know, inject the heroin, whatever you do to get excited. Eat the severed limb, whatever, cook the arm, whatever you do. Get excited, guys, because Halloween is here. Man, we got haunted houses. I am hitting up every freaking haunted house in the tri-state area of Chicago. This is what I'm doing. I love it. It's crazy. I love the props. I love, you know, the mechanical stuff. I love, you know, the natural effects. I love, you know, all the crap that goes with Halloween. I love getting excited. You know, you go to a haunted house with your friends. You all buddy up later and go watch some crappy horror movie and you laugh, you know. You get drunk. Who cares? Go dress up. Get costumes, do jack-o'-lanterns. My God, go on hay rides, there's corn mazes. Oh, my God, what else could you possibly do? Halloween is awesome. This is Christmas in the GG Studios. That's it. Next show, there's going to be jack-o'-lanterns everywhere. I'm going to go nuts. I am carving a million jack-o'-lanterns. Guys, I am so serious. You need to get psyched because I truly believe, and I don't know, you know, Spirit Halloween stores, all these Halloween stores, they say sales are up from last year. You know, everyone's talking money and profit. I don't know, but I'm seriously seeing a downswing in Halloween. Nobody appreciates it like it used to. Techie Ed, are you with me on this one? When we were kids, was it not crazy fun? The adults got in it. The kids got in it. Communities got in it. Like, I mean, Halloween parties, our parents were dressing up, you know? I mean, it was nuts. It
building
was like
the haunted houses in
right.
the backyard.
Yes, building haunted houses. My sister was born on Halloween. We used to throw an annual haunted house in her honor when we were kids. I mean, just nuts. We'd have kids from the neighborhood, you know, running out late at night. You know, my dad would do the yard up, you know, Frankenstein, and, you know, he'd build these massive creatures and graveyards and crap, and we would run around at, like, midnight playing Pet Cemetery, you know, pretending we were dogs and cats trying to kill each other. I mean, yes, this was my childhood. Everyone's like, oh, my God, I just call somebody.
But this is normal for us.
This is it's not normal? What? Seriously, that's what it was about, guys. And, you know, nowadays, it seems like everybody's just stiff, doesn't it? Everybody's so rigid. They've got a stick up their ass. I don't know what's going on. People are saying it's the economy. That's BS. You can't celebrate a holiday because of the economy. You can't celebrate a holiday because, I don't know, some BS, oh, there's a war in Iraq. Do you think that they'd want you? Yeah. Do you think that the people in Iraq, the soldiers that are over there, yes, okay, whatever, you know, your family members are out there. Do you think they'd want you to sit here and act as if you're dead?
I tell you what, I guarantee you they still celebrate Halloween in Iraq.
See? Well, is that something? Do you think they want us to sit here and be like, oh, life sucks? So, come on, guys. Life is to be celebrated. It is too short. I am so sick of everybody being rude, mistreating each other, and just totally everything is about money. Everything's about, oh, you're not, I'm better than you. You can't have this. Why are people like this? And I mean, with Halloween, this is what got me started on this. Nobody appreciates the holiday. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's just a chance for me to dress like a slut and go to a party. People have said this to me. There were several girls that came up to me. I love Halloween because I get to dress like a slut. And I'm like, did we lose something here?
What's keeping you from dressing like a slut the rest of the year?
Yeah, the rest of the year, what's your excuse? But seriously, Halloween has lost its meaning. It's lost its fervor. Kids today don't appreciate horror. The new generation of horror fans, what do they have to look for? No one is guiding their way. This is what we need. We need to welcome these people in the community. We need to welcome this new generation of horror fans and be like, hey, this is how it was, man. This is the classics. This is the new stuff. You know, this is the excitement, guys. We're missing the passion of Halloween. We're missing the excitement. I don't care what you got to do. Watch A Nightmare Before Christmas. Watch Halloween. Go out and spray fake blood all over the place. Whatever it is you do, bring it back. What happened to running the streets? You know, we've got this big brother mentality now in the United States. Everybody's got to watch, oh, that's a terrorist. Oh, my God, there's something. Screw that, guys. Run through the streets. Play with your neighbors, you know. Yeah, you know, go play Pet Cemetery. Pretend you're undead dogs and cats trying to maul each other. Whatever. I totally support this. This is a change that we need. We have these dopes, you know, running for president. And, I mean, seriously, where's the passion anymore? We are lost. This is a passionless country. And the arts are proving that because, I mean, I'd love to say we had breakout film and stuff, but we're stagnant right now. We are so stagnant. And it's true. I don't care who you are. you know it's true. We're in a state right now where we're just kind of floating. We're just kind of like, eh, okay. The passion, you know, we got to bring that back. And Halloween especially, man. I mean, that's the time. Get out there. Do stuff. You know, celebrate it. I mean, there's different reasons people celebrate it, which we'll get into in a minute. But, I mean, that's what it's all about, guys. So, I don't know. I'm going on rants. Look at me. James Bond, the plague. I mean, what are we even talking about anymore? I don't know. I started doing Ball in the Jack. You know, now all of a sudden I'm channeling Dom DeLuise and drag. I don't know what's happening, guys. This is a nuts show. But I'm telling you, we're feeling the excitement here. We are feeling the excitement. And I don't know. That's all I can say is I'm excited. I'm overwhelmed. I'm going to start crying, like, right now. I am overwhelmed by passion. I love Halloween. Do you not think, Tekia, that we have lost the passion of Halloween and we need to bring this back?
Definitely. No one celebrates Halloween like we used to. No one does.
Right. It's gone. I don't get it, but okay. But you know what, guys? We're going to go to break real fast, and we're going to come back, and we are going to give you a smorgasbord of the history of Halloween, the customs of Halloween. We even got a special segment just all on herbs and stuff, so which I didn't know until we did the research for the show. So let's hit the commercial, and stay tuned, guys, because if you go away, I will just come to your house and rant to you in your face. So you might as well stick around listening to the last half of the show.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Listen to Darker Side of the Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
There's just one Schlitz, yeah, nothing else comes near. When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
We're apparently high on Schlitz the show. I don't know, guys. It was nuts. But thanks for staying tuned because, you know, obviously my threat works. You don't want me to come to your house and, like, rant to you all evening. So it's good for you. Good for you. You're smart. Mm-hmm. Just stay tuned because we got a whole half hour of the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're watching. We know where each and every one of you are listening right now. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just saw you. Yeah, you thought about clicking that button. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stay tuned, all right? No, I'm serious. Yeah.
I have your address.
Though, yes, we have your address now, guys. They're like, they're insane. We're not listening anymore. Anyway, let's get right into this, guys. We have an action-packed story. I mean, we've got tons of information. Get your notepads out if you want. But, you know, get you in the Halloween spirit to get you juiced up. How can you have passion for something unless you know more about it? So here you go, guys. Stuff you might know, stuff you might not know. Take it all in. All right, let's go right into it. The history of Halloween. Now, I know everybody kind of understands the history of Halloween, kind of redundant for some people, but, you know, you may not know certain things about it. But the Celts who lived 2,000 years ago, you know, this is a Celtic thing. Everybody knew this, right? I'm waiting as if a response will happen. 30 minutes later, no response.
Crickets.
Why aren't they talking to us yet? Anyway, 2,000 years ago, in the area that's now Ireland, northern France, that whole area over there, they celebrated their new year on November 1st. That day sort of marked the end of summer for them, the end of the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, which to them was a time associated with human death. They believed that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the world of the living and the dead became blurred. So on the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, or in Halloween 2, as they call it, Samhain. Thank you, John Carpenter. We still love you. You guys are rolling now. they celebrated Samhain, which was when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead would return to Earth. All laws of space and time were supposedly suspended during this, and that would allow the spirit world to intermingle with the living and search for bodies to possess for the next year. I don't know. I'm seeing Reagan all over this. I'm seeing some Linda Blair, where are you? Basically, in addition, you know, to causing trouble and damaging crops, which Techie Ed knew all about, he knew about the information. He didn't know about damaging crops. He doesn't go around, let me get my plane out so I may damage this crop field.
Or so they know.
Well, we won't say anything. it was supposedly a time, we know, where spirits cause trouble, they damage crops, stuff like that. The Celts thought that the presence of the otherworldly spirits made it easier for the druids, or their priests, to make predictions about the future. This rings a bell sort of in our modern society. Anyway, so for people that were entirely dependent on this natural world, these prophecies were an important source of comfort for the long, cold winter. Anyway, to commemorate the event, these druids built huge, like, sacred bonfires. I do enjoy bonfires. I thought I'd throw that in there. It's like a calendar. Gorgorl's like, she likes long walks on the beach, bonfires, dismembered body parts. No, guys. They built these huge bonfires, and this is where people would gather, and they would burn their crops. They'd sacrifice animals to their deities, just all sorts of stuff. They would extinguish the fires in their houses, okay? Stretch your minds back. They didn't have electricity, guys. No, I know there's one person out there that's like, wait, fire? I know. It's okay. It's okay, Mom. Anyway, I can't lost. Stay with me, Mom. Anyway, they dress like ghosts. I can't say that. Gore Girl's mom is awesome. I just tease her because inside joke. Anyway, I'll tell you guys later. I'll have her on the show one night. It'll be great. So anyway, they would dress like ghosts, and they'd wander in their neighborhood to ward off, you know, deadly spirits looking for the bodies to possess, like I said. So they would set these fires on top of the hill because it was their belief that this would empower the sun god and that their summer season would continue. They would gather, the villagers gathered around these, like I said, to sacrifice the crops and to sort of, you know, commemorate this and try to keep, you know, the otherworldly spirits at bay. Was that a deep enough voice for that? Anyway, the Celts usually wore costumes, typically that consisted of animal heads, skins, things like that. They were attempting to tell each other's fortunes. So when the celebration was over, they went back and relit their fires, which I had said they extinguished earlier. And basically they thought it would help protect them during the winter. So by this time, okay, you had this whole thing going for, you know, years. Of course, we have the Romans. Thank you, Romans. So here we go. Everyone's all happy-go-lucky, you know, skipping through the fields with butterflies, and then you have the Romans come along. So anyway, the Romans conquered the majority of this territory, and of course they incorporated some of their own beliefs, which were also some stolen beliefs from other lands. We love the Romans. Anyway, so there's like one Roman tribe in some mountain somewhere listening, going, we're coming to get them, heads on stakes. Anyway, so they incorporated two festivals of their own, which with the celebration of Samhain. The first was Feralia, the day, I hope I said that right, God knows, the day in late October where the Romans traditionally commemorated the passing of their dead. The second was a day to honor Pomona, the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. I actually knew about this. She's supposedly the symbol of the apple, and the incorporation of Samhain probably explains the tradition of bobbing for apples, you know, her involvement in that. So anyway, by this time, of course, we have another sanction by somebody even more. I'm not even going to say it because we'll get sued. We have more people coming in to change things. Anyway, the Christians had come, and they spread into the land. And during the 7th century, the Pope designated that November 1st was All Saints Day, which was a time to honor, you know, saints and martyrs. So it's widely believed that he was attempting to replace the Celtic Festival of the Dead with sort of a church-sanctioned holiday. So, you know, trying to, like, overpower that and get everybody away from old superstitions, which, you know, is honorable. The celebration was basically called All Hallows or All Hallowmas, which was a Middle English kind of word. But the night before was referred to as All Hallows Eve and eventually Halloween. So our actual terminology for Halloween itself comes from Christianity. But before that, it was Samhain. So I don't know. We're going to have some groups like, it's a devil thing. It's pagan. Da, da. People, seriously, don't make me hit you, okay? Ignorance. So anyway, so incorporating it into how it got to America, comes to America, you know, the European immigrants brought it with them, but we had this rigid Protestant belief system. So it was sort of spread throughout New England. So the celebration of Halloween in colonial times was sort of limited. It was actually more common in Maryland and the southern colonies. So the beliefs of, you know, those European immigrants that came through and the American Indians sort of meshed together, and we have the current version of Halloween that we have. So that's when we started to have play parties where we dressed up, you know. We celebrated the harvest, but neighbors would get together to tell stories of the dead, tell each other's fortunes. They'd dance, they'd sing, you know, tell ghost stories, you know, make mischief, all sorts of evil things. Ah, so good stuff. But, God, there were so many crazy things. Like, you know, I'm going to get right into the customs of it because there's customs that you guys remember or you guys know nowadays, but what was it like back then? You know what I'm saying? So trick-or-treating, guys. Basically, the origins of it were called souling or trick-or-treating. They lie from medieval times. Medieval times?
Medieval times.
Well, I guess that would make sense. Well, I don't know why the night dinner and night thing flashed in my head. Okay, whatever. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I was thinking the right thing, but the image okay, whatever. Anyway, everybody understands what I'm saying. where was I? They called it souling, trick-or-treating, comes from medieval Europe, good times. It involved going from door to door on or kind of around All Souls Day, and people would solicit gifts of food in return for prayers for the dead. Basically, they were given pastries called soul cakes, and they were given as a promise to pray for the family's dead relatives. I thought that's kind of cool. I think we should have soul cakes nowadays, you know?
We do. It's called candy.
That's our soul cake. I'm going to go door to door. Can I please have some soul cakes? What the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about, little crazy curly-haired girl with a severed head in your head? Oh, my God, it's real. Anyway, so there's a reference actually made to this custom in a book called Popular Antiquities of Great Britain from 1779. And they actually said in it, almost as a joke, on All Saints Day, the poor people go from parish to parish, a souling, as they call it. So, I mean, this was, you know, even back then considered somewhat primitive, which I don't understand, but okay. So the distribution of soul cakes, or as Hecky Ed likes to call it, candy, candy from pretty strangers, it was encouraged by the church as a way to replace the ancient practice of leaving food and wine for roaming spirits. So, you know, they wanted to get rid of that, and the practice was referred to as going a-souling, which, you know, eventually was taken up by kids who would visit houses in the neighborhood and be given ale, food, and money. They were given ale. Why do we not do this today? Seriously? I go door-to-door for beer. Excuse me. I've come for ale. I've come for a soul cake and some ale. Could you accommodate? I would trick-or-treat every day. I'd be like, a-souling, I'm here to a-soul you. They'd be like, what's this girl on?
Assault?
You mean assault? Is she assaulting us? What's happening? No, but the kids, basically what happened is trick-or-treat is that the trick part of it, it's a threat to play a trick on the homeowner or his property if no treat is given. So that's how we got trick-or-treat. So basically you have kids running from door to door drunk, threatening to beat the crap out of homeowners. I mean, this is great. These are our ancestors, guys, so we should respect this and continue the tradition.
I will ask for ale now.
I want ale. Heads on the ale. So, oh, my God, I have things attacking me. Our producers can't even afford chairs that don't bite. God, I'm bleeding to death now. Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. I'm going to sell my blood on eBay. It'll be great. It'll pay for a new chair. Anyway. So, on Halloween, you know, it was believed that ghosts came back to the earthly world, and people thought that they would encounter ghosts if they left their homes, also known as Jehovah's Witness. So to avoid being recognized, that was a joke, but apparently not funny because Pecky Ed didn't laugh.
I'm dying from TB still.
No, it's the plague now.
The plague now.
So to avoid being recognized by these ghosts, you know, people wouldn't wear masks when they left their homes after dark, so the ghosts would mistake them for fellow spirits. So on Halloween, you know, it was to keep ghosts away from their houses. People would actually place the bowls of food outside their homes to appease the ghosts and prevent them from attempting to enter, which is what the church wanted to get rid of by the whole soul cake thing. So I don't know if it worked, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, okay, jack-o'-lanterns. Do you know the story of jack-o'-lanterns?
I do not.
Would you like to know the story of Jack?
I would like to know. I do like carving them.
I like to carve men named Jack.
And
the lantern.
And occasionally blow them up.
So the jack-o'-lantern tradition. I actually heard, I knew one story, but I just, when I was doing the research for the show, because, yeah, guys, we actually do look stuff up to make sure that we're not, like, lying to you guys.
Yeah, it's amazing the things we find.
We do. We spend all week researching. I can attest to that. My business manager can attest to that. She's always like, what are you doing? And I'm like, research for the show. She's like, you've been doing that for 3 days. How much research do you need? It's an hour show. What possibly could you say in the hour that would dictate a week's worth of research? I'm like, porn is a worthy research subject for the show, okay? God! Anyway, so jack-o'-lantern. We're high in the show. We are high in the show. Techie Ed is dying, and we're high. We're going to do Ball in the Jack after this, guys. Revamp!
Woo!
Anyway, jack-o'-lanterns, guys, I knew the one story, but apparently there's two versions of it. So, you know, obviously jack-o'-lanterns, you carve the pumpkins, whatever, but this actually came from an Irish myth about a man named Stingy Jack. So according to the story, Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him. So true to his name, Stingy Jack didn't want to pay for his drink, so he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin that Jack could use to buy their drinks. So once the devil did that, which I don't know why he did, once the devil did that, Jack decided to keep the money and put it in his pocket next to a silver cross, which prevented the devil from changing back to his original form. So Jack eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother him for 1 year and that should Jack die, he would not claim his soul. So the next year, Jack again tricks the devil into climbing into a tree. Well, again tricks the devil. He didn't do it twice with the tree climbing. But anyway, the devil climbs in this tree, right? And, you know, to get a piece of fruit. So while he's up there, I have no idea why the devil's doing this, but okay. So he's up in the tree getting this piece of fruit for some, whatever, apparently fruit's scarce in hell, I don't know. So he's up there getting a piece of fruit, and Jack carves the sign of the cross into the tree bark so that the devil could not come down. And again, the devil promised, you know, not to bother Jack for 10 more years. So soon after, Jack died. I couldn't imagine this guy having many friends because he's running around with the devil carving crosses in the trees. So whatever. So he dies. As the legend goes, God would not allow such a horrible figure into heaven, you know, a trickster, a prankster, a guy that was just, you know, sort of unsavory. The devil, who was upset by the tricks, obviously, that were played on him, and keeping his word not to claim his soul, would not allow Jack into hell. So he sent Jack off into the dark, and Jack's like, well, what do I do? Where do I go? And he said, you go back where you came from. Jack couldn't find his way in the dark and begged the devil for some sort of guidance. So the devil flicked him a burning coal to light his way, one single piece. So Jack put the coal in a carved-out turnip and has been roaming the earth ever since with it. So the Irish began to refer to this ghostly figure as Jack of the Lantern, or as we know it, Jack-o'-lantern. So in Ireland and Scotland, where it started, you know, people began making versions of his lanterns by carving scary faces into turnips or potatoes and placing them in windows or near doors to frighten away Stingy Jack or other wandering evil spirits. So in England, they use, like, large beets. Obviously, in America, we use pumpkins because that's the natural, you know, thing that's over here. But basically, the jack-o'-lantern tradition was brought over here. And obviously, you know, pumpkins were used because they're the native fruit to America, you know, and turnips were actually scarce in America. So that's that whole thing with Jack. But did you know that?
I did not know that.
Is that cool? I thought that was cool. I was like, that's why we carve scary faces in the pumpkins.
I was hanging out with the devil. That sounds like
me. Carve a cross in, and you can be, we're going to change it. It's no longer jack-o'-lantern, it's Ed-o'-lantern. Hold on. I must keep Pecky Yet out of my house. I'm going to carve his face into a pumpkin. So, see, we can do this. It's easy. We're changing tradition. I have a fact, actually. And in my research, I was doing all this crazy research. I actually found this out, and I was trying to fathom this. I want to see a picture. I want to see a picture. The largest pumpkin ever grown was 1,689 pounds.
Oh, my God.
That's like Old Mother Hubbard's shoe. Let's go live in the pumpkin. You know, like, what do you do with that? It was grown by Joe Jutris of somewhere in Rhode Island. I don't know, some town. I don't know. I don't want to screw it up, but everybody knows. But a 1,500-pound pumpkin? I want to see a picture. What do you do with a 1,500-pound pumpkin? Come live with me, townsfolk. We will make merry and create pumpkin pies. Really, what do you do with a 1,500-pound? I don't know. I don't know. Squash the new James Bond. I don't know. Good times. Yeah, let's get James Bond on it. I'm sure he'll figure out something boring to do with the 1,500-pound jack-o'-lantern. Anyway, so, all right, so, of course, Halloween. You got these myths and traditions and, you know, whatever else you got going on. But what are some of the myths? We know some of the standard myths, you know, the black cat thing, you know, trick-or-treating, stuff like that. But did you know that you probably knew this because you're hip on this stuff? But, and I just said hip. That's boss, man. I'm from the 70s now. Anyway, let's bring it back. Disco ball drops from the ceiling. We'll change Ball in the Jack into a disco version. Anyway, that will create a hustle. So, anyway, it used to be all Halloween. It used to be a holiday filled with, you know, magic, superstition. But it was this festival where people felt close to their deceased relatives and friends. So, I mean, it was friendly spirits. They set out places at their dinner table. They left treats on doorsteps. You know, they lit the candles to help loved ones find their way to the spirit world. But nowadays, the tradition seemed to get flipped since coming to America, because now everything's fearsome and malevolent and everything is scarier and, you know, oh, spirits are evil. So I don't know if it has to do with our rigid religious roots. I don't know. Superstition, ignorance. I don't know. I don't know the exact reason why. But we avoid crossing paths with black cats because we're afraid it might give us bad luck. But this idea has roots in the fact that, you know, it's from the Middle Ages when people believed that witches avoided detection by turning into cats. So this is today why we say, oh, don't cross a black cat. So apparently Sarah Paulin is getting, you know, a charm placed on her from black cats in the month of October. Yeah, so I can officially say I know where Sarah Paulin is. She's at her church getting a witchcraft protection spell from the cats of America.
I couldn't believe that.
And Bob Barker sighs. So, anyway, we should get Bob Barker doing his little spiel about spay and neutering. Anyway, I don't know why that just crossed my head, but anyway. You know, you have things like don't walk under ladders. Basically the same reason, bad luck. But, you know, there's many reasons why people think, well, obviously it's unsafe to walk under a ladder. But some people think it has to do with ancient Egyptians who believed that triangles were sacred, stuff like that. You know, avoid breaking mirrors, don't step on cracks in the road, don't spill salt. These are all superstitions that we have, most of it based on, you know, witchcraft, ignorance from the Middle Ages, you know, torture, things like that. But you'll be surprised. How many people do you know that actually still abide those superstitions?
There's a lot.
My God, we say today how advanced we are, and we don't believe in this, but we still abide by old superstitions.
I'll even tell you guys a story. My dad, when a black cat crossed the road, turned the car around and took the long way home. I'm serious.
Did he get out his witch detection kit and go chase it?
He might have.
Hold on, we must burn her. See, and I mean, we still start, you know, it's the stuff that we still, you know, get into, but just crazy, crazy stuff. So, you know, and just love spells, crazy things like that. But guys, we have not given you an herb of the month for a while. And I was actually doing some research, and this is kind of like a massive herb of the month kind of thing. So it's not an herb of the week. It's like a massive collection of herb of the month. So we're talking about, you know, lighting the jack-o'-lanterns, things like that. Well, I mean, you know, the holiday that we actually call Halloween, it's prehistoric Europe, guys. This goes on for ages and ages. I mean, so the glowing turnip was used because that was the popular thing out there. They produce like, what, 4,000 turnips or something in this one section of Ireland a year. So, I mean, it's just crazy. But well, I guess, I don't know. I don't even know if I've ever held a, you know, yeah, I've held a turnip. I'm trying to think of it. Like, have I held a turnip? Have I stroked a turnip lately? The apple, guys. The apple, okay? We all know about the apple, not Snow White's apple. But It's I didn't know this, okay? There's some stuff about apples I didn't know. So it's a member of the rose family. Apples and their flowers have associations with Venus, which is the goddess of love and fertility. Okay, I could see that. But Halloween was viewed as a time it was possible to see in the future. So fortune-telling was huge, guys. I mean, it still connects nowadays, you know? And what's the big thing that you find out in fortune-telling? Love, marriage. That's what everybody wants to know for some ungodly reason. Yeah. So back then, you know, it was all about love and marriage. And I think it has something to do because a lot of the superstitions catered to young women. I think it was more like a coming of age, a moralistic thing, like mind your husbands, mind your fathers, you know, keeping the young girls in check kind of thing. But everything was, all the fortune telling, all the superstitions were about love, were geared towards women. So they said that an apple peel thrown over your shoulder, for instance, could predict the first letter of a true love's name. Peeling an apple in front of a mirror by candlelight would reveal an image of your lover in a mirror. The first person to bite an apple floating in a dish of water would be the first to wed. Not to mention apple bobbing is like a way for people to flirt and hang out and stuff. So, I mean, that's where our apple bobbing tradition comes from, is if you're the first to bite it, you're getting married. I don't think we're playing that game this year, guys. But after I found that, I'm like, oh, crap. So, yes, and we're no longer playing that game. But seriously, apples, like, they're elements of Venus and water. They're used in love spells for hundreds of years, guys. I didn't know that. That's kind of cool. Cider, the apple cider, can be used in place of blood or wine when called for in ancient spells and rituals. Isn't that cool? You could just use cider.
Who would have known?
Who would have known? I'm excited.
What do I do with all my dumb body parts?
I don't know. Cook them. Okay. You're not opposed. So, but the wood from an apple tree is used to make wands. It's used, like I said, for love spells. Once again, it's the revolving door of the love stuff. And actually, in Cornwall, a large apple was given to each member of the household to be eaten at Samhain, which, you know, we know is Halloween, for good luck. So, I mean, the apple just, I did not know all this fascinating stuff about it. I was like, oh, okay. Everyone's like, she thinks apples are fascinating. Yes. Yes, I do. After reading that, I do. After researching that for a week, it was awesome.
And they taste good.
Yes, they do. But, you know, pumpkins being carved as jack-o'-lanterns were not part, you know, like I said, they came pretty new. So I thought the whole turnip thing was cool. But, you know, they used the hollowed out turnips. They carved faces in them, placed them in windows to ward off evil spirits. So I actually found out that today it still goes on, the turnip thing. In every November, the village of, I think it's Reichswil or something, it's in Lake Zurich in Switzerland, it's filled with thousands of glowing turnips, and they're brightened with candles, of course, but wow, there's apparently a huge appreciation for turnips in Europe. I didn't know. There must be a turnip fan club, perhaps. I'd like to join. Where do I sign up for this said turnip fan club? I perhaps just created one just now. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I thought that was kind of cool, guys. I don't know, the whole turnip thing. But this was cool, too, that I found out. Oh, what do we got, some stuff going on here? Oh, okay, we got callers. Well, I'm not paying attention, you guys. We don't care. Leave us alone. Dang, kids. So, we were talking about the Celts. They believe the souls of people who died that year journeying to the spirit world during Halloween. So the holidays, bonfires, glowing turnips help the dead in their journey while protecting the living. So I thought that was kind of cool. The living might have found protection also by carrying a piece of asfetida in their pockets, which I found out, I didn't know this. I've heard this word, but I didn't know what it was. It's an herbal residue that's obtained from the root of this plant that's native to Middle East. And apparently it's so vile-smelling, it's called devil's dung. So apparently you carry this in your pocket. Yeah, I'm sure evil spirits aren't the only thing that are going to avoid you. But whatever. And I thought this was cool too, because you were talking about Techie Yed's really into mythology. You were talking about you're into Germanic gods and goddesses. Okay, I thought this was cool that German immigrants brought the practice of carrying that root I was talking about for protection to this country. I thought that was cool, but perhaps, you know, we're getting more into the German. I found something else about German. You probably know all about this, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Okay.
All right. Just pretend you don't know.
Okay.
Okay. So, and look surprised when I tell you.
I will.
Okay. So, no, I found this out. Elderberry, right? I mean, I've gone to, you know, crystal stores. And I've seen potions. I've seen things made with it. I never really understood what its purposes or uses were, but apparently elderberry is huge. It's got the strongest ties to Halloween. Supposedly, it's this little small bushy tree with white flowers and blues, and it's associated with the Germanic goddess Holly, or she's called Hulda. Anyway, she's the guardian of the dead, and the goddess survives today as in picture form as our typical Halloween witch. I thought that was kind of cool. That's where our typical pictures of a Halloween witch come from, was people associate that with the Germanic goddess, guardian of the dead. That's kind of cool. But she's also known as Frau Holly, and she was known as that, as a caring godmother and wise crone. I said godmother, meant grandmother. Anyway, so we paused to reflect on the error. Anyway, moving on. So I thought that was kind of cool because you know how that's the friendly term in Germany, the Frau, you know, that's kind of, you know, I just thought that was cool. She was a caring grandmother. So she helped souls cross over, and she took messages to them written in elderberry. How cool is that? So I didn't know that about the Germanic because, I've studied Egyptian, I've studied Greek, I studied Roman, but I've never gotten too much into the German. And I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, wow.
It's like the spiritual letter.
Right, right. I'm like, oh, my God, Tom Hanks should make a movie with it, him and Meg Ryan. It's like You Got Mail, part two. I don't know. And Meg Ryan is some old crone, and she delivers letters and elderberry. I don't know. I'm making movies, guys. I'm making movies. But, you know, it's actually also said they have health benefits, which is probably why I've seen a lot of, like, health stores, things like that, as well as crystal stores. It's like you can make a tea from the flower. And it actually, like, cures cold and flu symptoms, which we totally could have used last Sunday had I would have known, right? And its berries are rich in, like, antioxidants and vitamin C. So, I don't know. Techie and I could have, like, used this last Sunday, perhaps.
So, use them now.
Right, right. And, I mean, you know, Ireland is still celebrating Halloween. That's where it started, guys. We got to give props to the Irish. And, I mean, it's celebrated with so much enthusiasm over there. We're going to take some of their passion this year, guys, and put it to our Halloween. But, you know, bonfires they still do. Children get dressed up in costumes. You know, they go a-soling, you know, for ale and soul cakes. You know, they attend parties. They do games like Snap Apple, where you put the apple on a wire instead of in a floating dish of water. And, you know, it swings from a tree and you try to bite it. So, apparently people lose teeth in Ireland. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. They're toothless in Ireland. Perhaps easier to drink beer. So, you know, and then, you know, candy, pastries, you know, they play a card game where they put candy under cards. You turn the card over, you get that candy. They actually play a game called Knock-a-Dolly. Apparently this is celebrated in Ireland. Guess what it is?
What is it?
Ding Dong Ditch. Apparently they do this in Ireland on Halloween. Let's do this on Halloween. And we are so, when we get arrested, we're simply celebrating the traditions of our ancestors. Seriously.
We should try all these traditions.
We should. I think we should. But guys, we've got no more time. We have to get out of here. Seriously, this has been awesome. We have gone through so much crap on this show. We've talked about the history of Halloween. We've talked about jack-o'-lanterns. You know, I mean, there was so much stuff I did not know before I did the research for the show. And I feel so much more enlightened having learned it. Have you felt enlightened?
I want Halloween right now.
I want Halloween right now. But guess what? We have like 20 days. We are so close. So, guys, keep the passion up. Keep the excitement up. We are going to knock you off your socks next week because we have the one, the only, the original Michael Myers, Tony Moran. That's next Monday night, 9 p.m. You do not want to miss it. Stick here for the Gore Girl Variety Hour next week because it's going to be mind-blowing. We are counting down to Halloween. I want you to get pumped. Go to a haunted house. Sever some limbs. Avoid black cats. Catch witches and burn them. Whatever you need to do, eat soul cakes, guys. This is Halloween. Live it up. You enjoy it. You deserve it, guys. So from our crypt to yours, good night, and get ready for Halloween.